Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, our fine young producer, engineer on the other side of the glass. It is Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2016. Why did I choose Cinco de Mayo to get married 44 years ago? Well, because it's something I would not easily forget. So it's a great day for an anniversary and a margarita. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We're going to talk with Michael Keith right off the bat. Mr. Keith is with me in studio 6 years as the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And the news came out this week that he will be leaving the partnership to go back to what he was doing before the partnership, and that is restoration of historic properties and downtown development. Michael, good to see you.
Great to see you again, Bill.
So I don't want to put the words in your mouth. Why did you decide this would be the good time to kind of let the board know that you'll be the interim probably through the summer, but a search will begin? Why now?
I think a lot of what has happened in the last 6 years has just been incredible down there. It's been the most intense period of my life. We've poured everything we had into those 6 years, and I think this is the perfect place to hand it over. We came into a situation that had really imploded at the time at both the city and the partnership, and downtown was flat as a board. Nothing was happening.
On a kind of a curve, it was maybe near the bottom or a low point.
A low point, yeah.
Since the whole Rio Nuevo and the whole idea began in the 90s.
Yeah, but you could feel it. You could feel the vibe happening. The first places had opened up. It looked like it could go. And we just began to kind of just go for it, without a real blueprint at the time, and it has exceeded all of our expectations. I mean, it's one of the hottest places in the West right now.
We were late to the game in downtown redevelopment, but sometimes that can be an advantage. We've learned from other places. Was it an advantage that we developed something of what you could call almost a hybrid?
Yeah, I think so, because we were never going to be a corporate center. The announcement this week notwithstanding, but we were perfectly positioned to be a live, work, play environment, which was just beginning to happen around the country, places like Portland and Austin and other communities that were beginning to look at things like modern streetcars and bike lanes and walkability indexes and bikeability indexes and quality of life, and we had that in spades. I mean, we were perfectly suited for that. So we began to blow on those embers a little bit, and we have really created a unique downtown.
And what were the factors then that, and I know you've actually give PowerPoints when you put it up on the screen when you talk to groups, what was the turnaround? What were the elements, the components?
The 40 years to becoming an overnight success? I think a lot of it has to do with the establishment and the stabilization of the 17 historic neighborhoods. You have to remember that hundreds of millions of dollars of private money was put in by little homeowners like you and I, rescuing those historic homes and creating those communities. You have to look at the fact that we're a mile from a major university. You have to look at the demographic changes of young entrepreneurs, the millennials, arriving on the scene about that time, wanting to moving back to urban centers. And that was driving downtowns all over the country. And then, of course, the cherry on the sundae was that fateful day in 2010 when we were awarded the $63 million federal Tiger II grant, which allowed the streetcar to go forward.
And we do have the millennials. Many of them do not even own cars and like public transportation. So that particular confluence of the streetcar coming along with this particular generation that likes a downtown environment.
You hit it right on the head. And we score very high on bikeability and walkability and quality of life indexes. And this generation, the millennial generation, is known for picking up and going wherever they want. And if it doesn't fit their parameters of a place that has a high social index that is environmentally conscious, they pick up and they go somewhere else.
What have we done to clean up the downtown?
Oh, wow. God, we've tripled the amount of maintenance and security on the streets. We've landscaped over 240 different areas downtown. We've created a banner program. They're about to launch a mural program downtown that is sensational. We've cleaned up every inch of it. We're joking. We're going to try to become the first gum-free downtown in America. I'm driving my poor maintenance people crazy every week.
It seems like I've never found a piece of gum that doesn't, I mean, it's just like it attracts to my to my tennis shoes. I've always seeming to hit one, but you were saying you're going to power wash the sidewalks?
Oh, we do. We have three crews now.
Wow.
That power wash every night from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning, and I've been after them to go that extra mile. You can never really eradicate this, but I'm trying to convince them that someday we're going to announce we're a gum-free downtown.
So do you like the decision of Caterpillar where they're locating kind of on the western end there of Rio Nuevo?
Yeah, this is huge, as somebody said, for 100 different reasons. From a downtown perspective, they're going to move in temporarily to 97 East Congress on the corner of Congress and Scott. I'm hoping the county or Caterpillar scrapes off that horrible Spanish lace stucco on it, replaces the windows. But the fact that you're going to have this first cadre of people with these high incomes moving into downtown, and then if all goes well 3 years from then, they'll have their corporate headquarters across the river, which is still downtown, still connected by the streetcar. This is huge. I mean, on every level, from a housing point of view, from a retail point of view, from a national, from an international credibility point of view. All the dialogues change in 1 week, even with board members and different things that are being considered, lenders. I mean, the entire landscape changed in 1 day.
And it probably doesn't hurt. And I know there are detractors who don't like hockey, but putting a triple A, in effect, franchise one step away, these are players who have played in the National Hockey League or aspire, they're one game away from playing. Bringing that type of franchise to downtown, I think, is a big deal.
Yeah, it's another indication that you're no longer a third-tier city and you're on the move. You don't attract a team like that. They're going to draw from Phoenix. They're going to draw from all over the state. This is a big deal, and they're going to spend money downtown. They're going to come down and spend a night, go to hockey, go to dinner, go to a show. Each one of these things is building on each other. And if you think the last 6 years were something, wait till you see the next 5 years. It's going to be off the chart down there.
And as I mentioned in the intro, you came to you weren't really a stranger to downtown. You'd been restoring historic properties before you were with the partnership, and you're going to go back to that?
Yeah, I've been doing development work as well, my own projects down there, design and build projects. But I had been on every board and commission that had anything to do with downtown. I had led the effort that did the 209-page infrastructure study in 2007, so it wasn't that I came out of left field. I had been there every day for 30 years, and was part of that fabric. And I think at the time that served the partnership in downtown well. But as we move into this sort of second tier future here, this is a time for administrators. This is a time for people from to attract a CEO from one of those up markets. Maybe their assistant CEO in Austin or Portland that can come in with a fire in their belly and new ideas, because if half of what I think is going to happens, you're going to see a city that stretches all the way from the Mercado down 4th Avenue. The entire streetcar route's going to become one large contiguous urban center.
And are there some properties you've got your eye on are there still some gems downtown that are waiting to be restored?
I bet
there aren't many.
No. I'll do two small renovations on properties that belong to a friend of mine. And then the rest of what I'll do is I have some vacant land left over from the old days, and I've already started to design some new concepts for those.
What is parking issue? Has that been resolved largely?
I don't know that it ever gets resolved. Mm-hmm. We have 15,000 parking spaces downtown. No one's ever mm-hmm. not found a parking space downtown. But I think the education part is will be an ongoing effort. Will never cease. You've got to convince people it's not scary. It's easy to do. Get them into parking garages, because once they do it, then they start doing it over and over again. But being Tucsonans, parking garages are new territory.
And about restaurants, some have said we've reached the point where maybe we've got too many, but that's sort of a process. The marketplace will weed out those that just can't make it. It's just a natural evolution, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's true whether you're in downtown or anywhere in Tucson or in any city in the world. What is the capacity for an entertainment district? It's probably unlimited with 1 million people that can drive down here and recreate. So what you want to do is create a place so special, it's the first thing you think of doing on a weekend. How many is that? 15, 20, 40 restaurants? I don't know that there's a prescriptive formula for this, but right now we've got five more restaurants that have opened or are about to open just in the last few months.
Wow. And Janos with his carriage house.
That's a great place. Yep. The dim sum breakfast is wonderful. If you can have a chance to go do that on a Sunday.
All right, Michael Keith, thank you very much for all you do for downtown. And it's not like you're leaving town. You'll be around, and we'll talk to you down the road. How's that?
That's great. Yeah, maybe we can do another interview at the end of the summer.
All right. Thank you, Michael. All right, Michael
Bill.
Keith, the Downtown Tucson Partnership CEO, and he is deciding that he will, after the summer, go on to do some other things. And we'll be back on Buckmaster 1216, pretty much exactly on this Thursday afternoon.
Do you have what it takes to be a dog's best friend? Or maybe you prefer a cat who'll rue the roost? Either way, you can find your ideal pet during PetSmart's National Adoption Weekend, Friday, May 13th to Sunday, May 15th. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona will have the most adorable animals you've ever seen at PetSmart on Broadway and Pantano, and PetSmart at River and Orange Grove. $25 adoptions for adult animals, $50 adoptions for pets 6 months and under. Licensing fees may apply. Learn more about the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website travelsmarttus.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with the head of the Regional Transportation Authority. Our Friday roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, KVOI. Dan bump music there at 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon. The program is Buckmaster, and joining us now, Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. He is the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He is the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, and was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
You look very well after your travels to Hong Kong, where you were speaking, right?
I was running workshops on critical thinking skills.
And how did it go?
It went well.
Everyone was happy with it?
Went well.
Oh, that's good. All right, so what's the deal here with this AZ merit reading results not being given out to the parents until midsummer?
Well, this is a campaign that was initiated last year called Move On When Reading. And basically, it's a cause that's been championed by about 14 states now, which basically say by the time a student reaches third grade, they should be proficient in reading. And so I'm hard-pressed to think of anybody, and I think you would agree, that wouldn't agree that reading proficiency is really important. I mean, after all, if you look at the incarceration rates in prison, and you look at the correlation of people who are illiterate that are behind bars, we would all agree that that's just one factor that suggests that reading is basic and fundamental to an individual's success. So this concept of let's take a look at our students and make sure that they're reading at a proficient level, and let's do that by using our statewide test, AZ Merit, to determine if they're successful or not. And if they're not, let's consider retaining them.
Holding them back, a great
correct.
Idea.
Correct. And, of course, we know there's abundant research, Bill, that suggests that retention really is not the answer.
No, what's that going to do to a child's, they feel then the self-worth, my goodness, my friends are moving on, I'm stuck here in third grade, they're in fourth grade.
Absolutely.
How does that make the boy or girl feel?
No, it creates an academic and social deficit for that child. So the question is, using this as a promotion gate to decide whether a student should be held back or not is, you know, really a questionable practice. And of the 14 states that are looking at this third grade gateway, many of them only offer retention as one of the options. Here in Arizona, we have said it is the option, that retention is the way to, in some way, academically punish a student for not being successful. So we've got some problems because the AZ merit scores are categorically based on different levels of achievement. And so what the state has said is if the parent gets a report card on the test that says the child is minimally proficient, then they could be held back. I talked to some superintendents this week and said, what does that really mean? Because, you know, we're not very comfortable yet with AZ merit. You know, it's a fairly new test. The results are really quite different than the old Ames test, much more rigorous in terms of the span of scores. And so what I've been told is that we're looking at the bottom 3%, the bottom 3% of the students that are in that minimum proficient category. But there's some fine print, Bill, isn't there always?
Always.
The fine print says that if a child has experienced or is labeled with disabilities or special needs, there's a waiver. They're excluded. Also, English language learners who've received less than 2 years of English instruction, they're also excluded. So that, you know, when you look at that bottom 3%, my guess is that, you know, there's going to be a large population of those that are going to meet those qualifiers.
All right. I was just going to say, let's go to Carl. He has a question for you, Bob. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Carl.
All right, so if you take the student and you move them along, even though they're not reading and they're with their peers, what kind of problems does that create for them because they're not able to keep up with their peers in the new class? And what does it do for the teacher because they have to spend additional time with that child that could be going to the others who have managed to stay out?
I think your points are well taken, Carl, but what I would suggest is substitute that word retention with intervention. And let's find some programs, let's fund some programs that we know who these children are. Let's put some really strong intervention programs in place that can help these students so that they're perhaps they're going to be working with an additional teacher in the fourth grade, or perhaps they have some summer school opportunities, or some online additional supplemental instruction. Now, this is going to cost some money, but I do believe that if I look at the model of some of the other states, this is what they're doing. This is what they're suggesting might be a better alternative to retention. That's what I would suggest, because clearly the research does not support retention, but it does support supplemental academic gains through different kinds of programs that can help those students.
Giving some of the slow learners an opportunity to work with them so they can stay with their friends and their grade level.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, the parents will not get the results here until July 11th?
Well, there's some hiccups here.
Yeah.
There's been a problem with the AZ merit score reporting. And so the State Department says that they're not going to report it. Actually, I think it's June 6th that that those reports will be coming out. But then the districts are going to have to re-hustle to get the information out to the parents of the children that are affected. And so we don't really know what's going to happen there. The state has already delayed this program by 1 year. Will there be another delay? I really don't know, but I do know that it's going to be difficult, and you know, maybe individual districts will have a little bit of latitude to negotiate with parents and with school officials to try to determine what are some other courses of action for these students. Again, you know, there's an unknown here, Bill. We don't know how many students we're really talking about once the waivers are applied. So there may be just a few. There may be hundreds. There mm-hmm. may be thousands. The initial reports from AZ Merit were not positive, and so we're not really sure what the results are going to be.
Well, when we have you for your June appearance, we will be talking about the results of Proposition 1, 2, 3.
We will, won't we?
Yeah. It's really hard. I don't think there's been a lot of polling done on this, Bob, about how this is going to go down.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's anybody's guess. I believe momentum is in favor of a yes.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten a lot of support from the Arizona Daily Star. Certainly some very articulate opposing letters have been sent in. There are a lot of valid points on both sides. Sometimes you have an issue where the points seem to be in favor of mm-hmm. one issue rather than another. I think you could argue both ways on this.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks with us, and I hope you have a great rest of the month of May. Thank you very much, Bob.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Welcome back to Buckmaster on this Thursday afternoon. Green Things, the place on Mother's Day at 10 a.m. Mother's Day morning, that is Sunday. Green Things hosting a gardening workshop free of charge for all the moms. Check it out, Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com, 3384 East River Road. Check it out on Mother's Day. It'd be a great outing for mom. Maybe go out to brunch after visiting Green Things. So be a nice day. All right, let's welcome now Mr. Jim Manley. Mr. Manley is with the Phoenix-based think tank known as the Goldwater Institute. He is the senior attorney for Goldwater, and we'll be talking about the Goldwater suit that they have against Pima County, suing over the Worldview. Their lease that in the Goldwater alleging the deal to build a facility and lease it to Worldview for 20 years violates the gift clause of the Arizona Constitution by extending the county's credit to a private company without a public purpose. Mr. Manley, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Isn't that done all the time here with economic development?
Well, frankly, it's not. If you take a look at what the county agreed to do in this deal, it is an 18-year long subsidy to Worldview, and it's interesting. The county has pointed to some other deals that have been done, for example, up in Scottsdale at the airport up there. Very similar buildings, an airplane hangar with some office space was rented out. But the deal there was much more protective of taxpayers, and it didn't involve this tremendous subsidy that Worldview is getting. I'll just give you one detail that separates the two in really a fundamental way. The deal up in Scottsdale, for example, was done after an open bid for the building, for the lease. And so the city and the taxpayers had some assurance that they were getting a good deal and that they were getting the best deal possible. Whereas here, the deal was done in the back room with no public input and no transparency. And so what you ended up with is a deal that gives a lot to Worldview and asks very little in return.
Well, it was very interesting because we had the two co-founders, Ms. Poynter and Tabor McCallum, on the show last week, and I asked them, who initiated this deal? Where did all of this come from? And many people had suspected it was Pima County that initiated it, but they said no, it was Governor Doug Ducey, a big supporter of the Goldwater Institute. So how do you reckon that?
Well, we certainly don't take our marching orders from Governor Ducey, and if we disagree with him in this situation, so be it. But that's because we're standing by our principles, and we've long been advocates for the gift clause because it protects taxpayers from being taken on a ride by governments who are all too willing to give money away to politically connected private businesses. These businesses should have to go to the bank just like everyone else. They shouldn't be able to dip into the taxpayer's pocket.
Where is this suit right now, Mr. Manley?
County yesterday filed a motion to dismiss, which is fairly typical in these sorts of public interest cases. And so we're going to respond to that, and there will probably be a hearing later this summer.
So if this happened, you mentioned Scottsdale. So the knock on all of this, the folks who are in the business community, not at all happy overall with this suit by Goldwater over Worldview. The knock on this has been that because the board is five Democrats, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, the makeup, that the Goldwater Institute is picking on this board specifically. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, frankly, I'm not sure I would have even known the count for the Board of Supervisors' partisanship until you told it to me. That simply has no relevance to our deciding to take this case. We got calls from Pima County taxpayers who were upset that this deal had been sprung on the Board of Supervisors at the last minute and rushed through. And then when we got into it and then looked at the terms, we realized that what was going on here was just totally unlawful, both in terms of what the gift clause requires and just in terms of basic protections for transparency and competitive bidding. You know, one could be in favor of these sorts of corporate welfare deals and still be opposed to this deal because of the way it was done.
Does this service, does this deal and serve any public purpose? I think that was some of the wording, wasn't it, that the agreement serves no public purpose, nor is the consideration fair to the taxpayers. Would you elaborate just a bit on that?
Sure. So, I mean, what the county is doing here is building a headquarters for a private company. And there's no public purpose served there. If the county was building a public park or even a hospital, then courts have found that's a public purpose. But just building a headquarters for a private company, if that's a public purpose, then really the counties can do whatever they want in terms of getting into the private sector. There's really no limit on the public purpose aspect of the gift clause then. In terms of the consideration that the county is getting, all Worldview has promised here is to make below market rent payments. And the county is upside down in this deal for the first 18 years. It's not until year 19 that the subsidies run out and Worldview starts paying enough to cover the actual costs of the lease and the loan. And then the only other thing that Worldview is obligated to do here is to hire a certain amount of people. But the problem with that is it's not really an enforceable promise. The only way that the county can enforce that promise is if it cancels the deal. And as I said, if the county cancels the deal in the first 18 years, then taxpayers are left holding the bag. There's no way to claw back that subsidy. So there's really no way to enforce that promise of more jobs, and there's really no way to tell whether it's the county is getting anything extra. Worldview would have hired employees anyway. There's really no way to tell if the county is getting some extra advantage, or rather the county in general, that the county itself gets nothing from that promise of jobs. Those jobs just go to the general population.
All right, let's see if we can squeeze a quick call in. Dan would like to speak with Mr. Manley of the Goldwater Institute. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. Yes, isn't this type of a deal that we're talking about what we've been worried about throughout the history of our country, that government authorities can give away benefits like this in return for possibly helping out in the next election?
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Well, the gift clause has been part of the Arizona Constitution from the beginning. 100 years ago, the framers had experienced the same sort of scenario with railroad companies that were going around to different cities and towns and asking for the local government to subsidize the cost of building their rail lines. And what ends up happening is a race to the bottom, where governments are fighting over each other to give away more and more of the public's money. And then at the end of the day, what happens is the railroad goes bust and the lines are useless, and the taxpayers are worse off. And we've seen that time and again since then, because it throughout that 100 years, governments have tried to find ways around the gift clause. And, you know, probably the most obvious example sports stadiums. And even the Obama administration has come out against subsidizing sports stadiums for these billionaire owners, because it ends up just not being a good deal for the taxpayers. They end up paying a lot of money to very wealthy, very politically connected people who can well afford to pay their own way. And at the end of the day, the taxpayers don't end up with all of these indirect economic benefits that are promised.
Jim Manley, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
All right, Jim Manley with the Goldwater Institute. Coming up over Memorial Day weekend, a great event over in Silver City. It's the 21st annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival, and the headliners are Taj Mahal Trio and the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. This is a free event and open to all. 3 hours east of Tucson, southwestnewmexico.org is the website, which will list all of the great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and many, many others. Lists all the places to stay and the many things to do, but that's going to be a great festival over the Memorial Day weekend. We'll be right back.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler, visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying nonstop to 16 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The counselor is in the house, Mr. Don Luce, attorney who is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He, of course, is one of the principals of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk and Associates, with beautiful offices here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in its second printing. We strongly recommend this book because it is written not for Mr. Luce's colleagues, but for those of us who don't know a lot about the law. And we've got some rather strange laws on the books in Arizona.
We do, Bill. Thank you for having me back.
Let me tell you about the other book, too, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we live in a very interesting time. Arizona is such a fascinating place to follow the law. Our Arizona legislature is comprised of interesting people, and the laws that we see being passed for the most part, garner a lot of publicity and in many cases make it to the Supreme Court. So from a lawyer's perspective, I really couldn't ask to be in a better state than Arizona to discuss law.
This is before we talk about some of the laws that, well, some of the proposals that may turn into laws that the legislature is dealing with. The state is thinking about minimum wages, and I know a lot of restaurant workers would love to see the wage go up. And surprisingly, the Restaurant Association is pushing a particular state minimum wage law in the Senate.
That's true, Bill. The Arizona Restaurant Association is asking that a proposal be included on the November ballot, which would, if passed, raise the minimum wage from the current $8.05 an hour to $9.50 an hour by the year 2020. There will also, in all likelihood, be another proposal on the November ballot dealing with minimum wage, which, if passed, would drive the minimum wage to $12 an hour by the year 2020. So it looks like, based on what's happening in the Senate, we're going to have two proposals on the November ballot dealing with minimum wage in Arizona.
And why would the Restaurant Association want this? Well, it is lower than the other the other proposal?
Well, there are two things in the proposal that is currently being debated that the Restaurant Association favors. One of them is the bill would prohibit cities and counties from enacting even higher minimum wages than the state minimum wage. Currently, there's an initiative drive in Flagstaff to require employers there to pay at least $15 an hour by the year 2021. And the second reason that the Restaurant Association is pushing for this minimum wage is because the competing ballot initiative would result in an even higher minimum wage if that initiative is passed.
So they feel there would be more control, that the state would, in effect, supersede any minimum wages that laws passed by particular cities and counties.
That's correct. Under the House concurrent resolution that is currently being debated, the state would set the minimum wage, and the cities and counties would not be allowed to set their own minimum wages, as is currently being considered in many places throughout the state of Arizona.
Well, it looks like we have a budget up at the state legislature, but the budget, of course, is usually the big piece of business, but there's a whole backlog of bills because the governor had said he's not signing anything, doesn't even want to consider anything till the budget deal is done. So now we've got the log jam.
We do. The first bill deals with guns. This is Senate Bill 1257, and just this week on a tie vote, the Senate defeated the legislation that would have allowed those with state-issued permits to carry a concealed weapon into many government buildings, even if the building had a no-gun sign on the exterior. Now, just to remind your listeners, in Arizona, buildings can prohibit people from bringing guns into them if they have the no gun sign prominently displayed on the entrance, and in government buildings, if they have lockers allowing gun carriers to lock their guns while they're in the building. Under this proposal that was just defeated, unless the government buildings also had security guards and metal detectors, then people with state-issued carry permits could have essentially ignored the no-gun sign on the building.
What else do we have on the docket that needs to be taken care of?
All right, so now we have Senate Bill 1248, which is designed to overrule ordinances in Phoenix and Tempe that allow pet shops to sell only rescue and shelter animals. Okay, so currently we have at least two cities in the state of Arizona, and Tucson is considering similar legislation,
yes,
as well as other places, that allow pet shops to sell only rescue and shelter animals. Under Senate Bill 1248, which is currently being debated, the local communities would lose that right. Under the terms of this legislation, which, by the way, has been sent to the governor, the pet store owners would be allowed to sell animals so long as the raising of those animals was in compliance with federal U.S. Department of Agricultural regulations for the breeding of dogs and cats. So the proponents of this legislation say that this is a good deal because it assures that the animals are not being mistreated. The opponents, the opponents say, well, you know, it sounds good on paper,
but
the USDA regulations are not what most people believe them to be, and in fact, it allows dogs to be caged in very small confined quarters, and that in and of itself is inhumane and allows animals to be mistreated.
And so I know the animal advocate community in this community very upset about this particular piece of legislation that you say now is going to the governor.
Yes, it's on the governor's desk.
So we're just about out of time here, but I want to get back to your book, Arizona Laws 101. So you may need to get ready to do another edition. after this legislative session?
Well, you know, it has been a labor of love. I wrote the book in 2004, and I completely updated it about 4 years ago. So I think we may have a couple of more years left before we need to do
shelf
a third.
Shelf life, a couple more years on
I
the
think
shelf.
A couple more years before we need to do a third edition. But you're right. The legislature is continually in motion. We have new bills that come out. Literally every week from the legislature when it's in session, and Arizona Laws 101 covers those laws that are most pertinent to you and your listeners. And I wrote it for, as you pointed out earlier, non-lawyers. It's a book for lay people.
And think about estate planning too. This is something everybody needs to do, and we put this off, and sometimes couples can't agree on which way they want to go, but I think the bottom line is it needs to be done.
I strongly believe that everyone needs to consider estate planning, not necessarily for wealth preservation purposes, but because you and I, we need healthcare directives and powers of attorney so that if something does happen, we have a plan in place so that other people, our loved ones, can make decisions for us consistent with our known wishes.
All right, Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk and Associates. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. Tomorrow, we are going to talk about the 10-year anniversary already of the Regional Transportation Authority, RTA, celebrating 10 years already of its 20-year plan. That's on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.